Good morning again. I want to give a shout out to those who are watching online, our little community in Pennsylvania. The West Coast, I know Diane is visiting Carol Ann in Michigan. I know you're tuning in, and Jimmy and Crystal in Fort Myers, and all those who are watching the millions all over the world. Vavo, it's still in New Jersey, I believe. Where is he in? Massachusetts, bravo, good morning. All right, let's get rocking and rolling. John chapter 7, you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 7. You're wondering what's behind me? Every single Sunday, we're going through the book of John. Every chapter in the book of John has a picture of Jesus. And John really wants you to know that. So he make it really obvious. So I'm trying to bring that alive to you so that every Sunday you walk away from here, why do I believe what I believe? And is it true? Is it Jesus really who he said he was? And was he really existing here on earth? That's the point. So every Sunday you see a picture behind me, a portrait of Jesus. Today we're going to tackle chapter 7. So turn to John chapter 7 and hold your place in John chapter 7. Continue with Isaiah chapter 12 as well. John chapter 7, Isaiah chapter 12. John chapter 7, beginning verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, there's one on every seat. Go ahead and grab one and turn to John chapter 7. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee. He did not want to go about in Judea because the Jewish leaders, they were looking for ways to kill him. But when the Jewish festival of the Tabernacles was near, so his brothers said to him, "Leave here, go to Judea, that your disciples may also see the works you're doing. No one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly." You're hearing the tone of voice of Jesus' brother. "If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For not even his brothers believed in him. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks. We thank you for the opportunity for us to get together to worship. God, I pray that right now you move our hearts, open our hearts, our mind. Make your word become alive in us. May it penetrate our thoughts, our hearts, change us as we leave here different today. Father, may my words be your words. May my thoughts be your thoughts. And God, I ask that you bless all of us as we seek to know you more. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. What the buzz, it's all about. Is this Jesus for real? Can he really be the Messiah? Some even ask, where is he? Is he here? We're trying to kill him. This was the conversation dominating the Feast of the Tabernacle. Among the crowd, there were widespread whispering about him. Some said, he's a good man. He's a good man. Others replied, no, he's not a good man. He deceives people. But no one would say anything publicly about him for the fear of the leaders. The Feast of the Tabernacle is one of the most holiest holiday for the Jewish people. And instead of celebrating, hanging out with their families, the conversation was, the rumors, the dominating of the talk was, is this Jesus for real? Is he a good man? Is he a deceiver? Does all he wants is your money? Or is he really the Messiah? Now, when you read this, right, you got to think about a couple of things. If Jesus was a good man, then he can't really be a deceiver. But if he's a deceiver, he can't really be a good man. So something is not adding up here. Now keep in mind, none of this makes sense until the resurrection of Jesus. And I want to drive this point home every single Sunday. Man did not write the Bible. Man did not start a religion called Christianity. The resurrection did. The resurrection changes everything. The resurrection inspired, convinced, and convicted a couple of guys who was the disciple of Jesus to write down everything they heard and saw. And at some point in Christianity, we got to stop blaming the Jewish leaders like they're some bad people. They're not. Jewish leaders were actually protecting the sacred truth the best way they know how. For us, what we can learn about from these guys and from hearing these conversations between them and Jesus is, don't forget, church, you heard this last week. I know there's a lot of things going on in our nation right now. But don't forget to love your neighbor while protecting the sacred truth. It's okay to protect the sacred truth, but don't forget to love people in the process. Jesus was real. People were talking about him. Some wanted him to do something for them. Some was looking for him to heal. Some wanted him to perform a miracle. And some wanted to silence him and wanted to kill him. Some wanted him dead. Jesus was real. Turn back to John chapter 6 real quick. You're just one chapter over. In verse 1, it says, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd of people follow him because they saw him, they saw the signs he has performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with the disciples. The Jewish Passover was near. Tune in here, church. John chapter 6, he was performing miracles because the Jewish Passover was near. John chapter 7, he's getting ready to go to the Feast of the Tabernacle because one of the greatest, holiest holidays, the Jewish people, it's about to be celebrated. From the Jewish Passover to the great feast of the festival is 6 months to 7 months apart. The Passover, it's in April. The Feast of the Tabernacle, it's in October. From John chapter 6 to John chapter 7, we're missing 7 months of Jesus' life and ministry. I say this for a reason. There were things that Jesus did I wish we have but the time and the available of pen and paper were scarce, so they didn't have enough paper and pen to write everything down. My point to you is this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I want to drive this home every single Sunday for you, because you really need to know who Jesus is. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in my Bible, if you have your Bible, hold it. I know on your phone just doesn't do it, right? On your phone just doesn't do it. But you hold this right here. This is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is 3 years of ministry of Jesus. And even within those 3 years, they were missing a lot of information about Jesus because they didn't have a pen and paper to write it down. We're missing 7 months here. And within those 3 years, there are more manuscript outside of this about Jesus than any human ever walked the face of the earth. Let that sink in for a second. Within the 3 years of Jesus' ministry, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those four gospels, and outside of these four gospels, there are more manuscripts written about Jesus than any man ever walked the face of the earth. And we're going to go believe some guy who convinced you that Jesus was a made-up thing? Come on, man. You heard me say that all the time. You should get a come on. Is it on the screen? Can you give him a come on, man, on the screen for me? Come on, man. Jesus is real. He walked this earth. There are more things written about him than any man that ever walked the face of the earth. So was he who he said he was or not? Was he crazy? Was he just a nice man? Was he a schemer? Was he a deceiver? All he wants is your money? All revolves around this holiday right here. The Feast of the Tabernacle. In Leviticus chapter 23, as the nation of Israel left Egypt, God called on Moses to institute this holiday. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 33. The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, on the fifth day of the seventh month, the Lord's festival of the tabernacles begins, and it lasts for 7 days. The first day is sacred assembly. Do no regular work. For 7 days, present food offering to the Lord. And on the eighth day, hold a sacred assembly and present a food offering to the Lord. It is the closing special ceremony or assembly. Do no regular work. I need 2 volunteers. I need 1 more. You're being too shy. You're being too shy. All right, here we go. You hold this one here. You hold this one here. Walk as far as you can out. Walk further, further. Walk all off the stage. Walk off the stage. Off the stage. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Now raise it up really high. Okay, I got weights on here, so it's not going to stop. Can you get this on camera? I want you to get this, okay? If you don't get this, you're not going to understand who Jesus is and what he did, why he did the things that he did. On this Feast of the Tabernacle, Moses instructed the Israelites, you're going to make yourself a Sukkoth, or Festival of the Booth. The whole purpose of the Sukkoth is to remind the Israelites that during their tough times of leaving Egypt, that God was covering them. That God was with them. God was dwelling with him. I was with you. I was with you in your hurt. I was with you in your dry ground. I was with you when you're thirsty. I was with you when you're discomfort. I was with you when you're hurt. I was with you as you leave Egypt. So every year, the most holy and memorable holiday for the Jewish people is the Feast of the Tabernacle. This takes place 7 days. And some Jews, you would see this now in October, you would see a Sukkoth built on the side of their house. Have you guys ever seen that? Like a little tent. If you walk around Boca Raton during the month of October, you will see this all over the place. It's called the Sukkoth. And some Jews would sleep under here for 7 days as a reminder the sacredness of God was dwelling. The idea is God was with them, was dwell with them as they leave Egypt. And during this month of the festival, it revolves around 2 things. A pitcher of water. And the father would take a pitcher of water and we pour it in the cup and he would pass around to the whole family. And he would read Isaiah chapter 12. In that day, you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry at me, your anger has turned away and you have confronted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. I want you to know how sacred this is for the Jewish people. They have this idea that God was with them. So they sit underneath the Sukkoth in the month of October because God was dwelling with them. He was with them. He was with them. He read Isaiah 12 because to them, God is everything and without God, there is nothing. To them, God is everything and without God, there is nothing. God is not angry with them even when they fall short. This is what Isaiah Chapter 12, what I just read to you, and this is how a Jewish person would interpret it. God is not angry with them even when they fall short. God comforted them when they feel uneasy. God will save them when they are afraid. God is their strength in time of weakness. God will defend them from the wicked. God is delighted to provide for his children. For a Jew, the sacred moment, the Feast of the Tabernacle, that God is joyful to satisfy our thirst, or their thirst, for righteousness, by giving us righteousness from the well of grace. He draws the water. So as the father passed around the pitcher and pour water, he would recite to his children, God is not angry with you. God is comforting you. God will save you. God is your strength. God will defend you. And God is delight in you. Hold on a little longer. You walked in right into this one. Here's our problem. We always look for people to save us, don't we? Humanity always looking for salvation. Wherever that comes from, whether it is friends, whether it's entertainment, whether it's marriage, whether it's wealth, whether it's substance, or joy or fun, or times of just being ourselves and meditate, whatever, we look for all kinds of things to satisfy our thirst for righteousness, for salvation. But to a Jew, they discover one thing. That God is everything, and without God, there is nothing. So they have this idea that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And at the very end, they have this idea that God, sitting on the throne in heaven, and everything surrounds him. Because God, it's everything. The highest form of spirituality for you and I sitting here is sitting under the Sukkoth. Under the care of God, accepting that God is everything, and without God, there is nothing. He dwells with us in times of trouble. So for a Jew, on this special festival, they're reminded that God was with them. God dwells among them under the Sukkoth. Thank you, guys. Is your arms going okay? Yeah, come on back. Let's put this back. So under that, I want you to get this picture. So I love the humor and the timing of Jesus. So on this holiday, Jesus' brother said, you know what? You should go. Because the streets are busy. Everyone is there. If you are going to perform a miracle, this is the week to do it. If you want your followers to come back and follow you, because remember in chapter 6, he performed some miracles. They follow him, and then he started talking about God's word. They left him. Because everyone wanted Jesus to do something for them, right? But it was God's word that really changed people. You heard that last week. So his brother this time saying, you should go. The streets are busy. Everyone is there. Everyone's going to see you. Everyone, if you want to make a name for yourself, this is it. Doing these miracles around Judea, around us and our families, it's not going to do anything for you. You should really go. And I love Jesus' sense of humor. Oh, I don't know. Oh, I don't know. It's not my time yet. I don't think I should go. I don't want to go. I don't know. And his brother, I can imagine his brother going, go, go, you should go, you should go, you should go, go do something. I want to see it too. Jesus said, I don't know. I don't know I should go. But yet he went in secret. Telling his brother, I don't know I should go. I don't know. But he went in secret. And he went there, and halfway through the festival, he went up to the temple courts. He began to teach. The Jews there were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having been taught? Everyone was surprised by Jesus' teaching. Untrained, unschooled, doesn't have a degree in college or Bible college or theology. Matter of fact, he didn't even have a Torah at home. Remember, the Torah only exists in the temple, but somehow he sat at the temple court and recited everything that was in the Jewish Bible. So everyone was amazed. You know, I want you to think about this, okay? And I said this last week already. We all look for Jesus to perform some kind of miracle. We're hoping that he can change our lives somehow. We wish that Jesus would just knock us across the head and say, just heal me, just change me. Make the struggle go away. Make me better. Make me happy. Make me out of depression. Make me happy again. Make me find love. Make me get over my addiction. Jesus, why don't you just do that? So we all look for that. Some people go to church even looking for that. Hopefully a church service will change me. But it's not the miracles. The word of God that changes people. God's word that changed people. So this time he went to the busiest street, the holiest holiday. Instead of performing miracles, he began to teach about God. Verse 37, on the last day, greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, river of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. On the last day of the festival, McGovern, come on up. Oh, we've done this before. Not again. Come on up. 6 months ago, you did this. Errol, come on up here, Errol. Come on, Brother Errol. Come on up. Test of strength here. I want you to get this point. Jesus began to teach, right? You want, which one you want to hold? This one or that one? That one. Okay. Stand right here. Jesus began to teach the word of God, but he waited, he waited, he waited, he waited. He didn't perform any miracles. Remember, this is the busiest street. Everyone was there. He waited, he waited, he waited. 7 days into the festival, on the last day. Now, this is what happened on the last day. The high priest would pick up a pitcher of water, and he would pour it into a cup. And some of the people, the fathers who set up the succoth, would sit under the succoth. He took a pitcher of water, he poured it into the cup, and the cup would be passed around his children. So go ahead. On the last day, right, the high priest would walk up and pour. Stop there for a second, okay? The high priest would get up and pour. At this exact moment, I want you to witness this. Go ahead and pour. Jesus is teaching on the last day. At this exact moment, Jesus stood up and he says, "I am the living water. I am the water that you've been looking for. I'm the water that's going to heal you. I'm the water that's going to wash away your sins. I'm the water. I'm the permanent dwelling of your life, which if you believe in me, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit." In the Old Testament, the succoth represents the indwelling of God with them. But in the New Testament, through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, he's the living water that gives us the Holy Spirit, which is the permanent indwelling. Listen to Isaiah 12. "With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation." At this exact moment, church, under the succoth, Jesus stood up. You love his sense of humor and his timing? "I am. That living water is being poured out." Because in the Old Testament, Moses would take a staff. And when they're dry, when they're empty, when they're thirsty, when they don't know how to go on, Moses would take his staff by the command of God, and he would do what? Hits the rock, and the water would come out. At that point, the priest did that. Jesus stood up and says, "I am that water." Completely surrender yourself to God. Thank you, gentlemen. Good job. Thank you. So easy to get claps these days. All you just have to go on the stage and pour some water and you get claps. I want claps when I finish preaching, okay? All right, stop. This was spoken 800 years before at that moment. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. "And afterwards, I will pour my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit on those days. I will show you wonders of the heavens and on earth. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Roger, can I get an amen? All right. "From Mount Zion in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance, as the Lord said, of men, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls." What am I saying? At that exact moment, Jesus stood up and pointed to the high priest and pointed his pouring the water. He said, "That's me. That's the living water. I'm the living water. Come to me and you will never thirst again. He's referring to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit because the entire holiday was about God dwell with them. And he says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit that's going to be permanently indwell in you. What am I saying, gang? What am I saying? What I'm saying is what you have inside of you, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, if you confess with your mouth and with your heart that you turn to God, and we'll show you what that means, and we baptize you in the water, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit is permanently inside of you, indwelling in you, which is way more special than any of the former patriarch had. Amen? That's in you. So Jesus says that indwelling that you're so worship and sacred under the Sarketh, it's way better when I resurrected from the dead. If you accept me, you're going to have way better than what they had in the Old Testament. So the people who saw and witnessed Jesus, his apostles, were so convicted by it after the resurrection. Because before the resurrection, none of this makes sense. Jesus standing there and saying, hey, I'm the living water. Everyone's like, what? It didn't make sense. He wasn't resurrected from the dead yet. But after the resurrection, Colossians chapter 1, they were so convicted. They were inspired. They knew Jesus is who he said he was. So they wrote this. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generation, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make among the Gentiles the glorious riches, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because of Jesus Christ, we no longer have to sit under a sucker. Because of Jesus Christ, we can dwell in the Holy Spirit. And may you find salvation and rest in the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, your Savior. Amen. May you find salvation and rest in the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, who it's our salvation. I want you to know how special this is. And we do this every Sunday because it is sacred and special. Can you imagine building a Sukkoth every single week? Can you imagine building a Sukkoth and sleep under there for 7 days long and going through what the Jewish people have to go through every single October? Jesus says, no. My body for you. My blood for you. He says, do this in remembrance of me, that you can find rest in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit permanently in you. At our church, we take communion every Sunday because this is a sacred moment as a remembrance that you have been saved by the grace of God, that you can find rest in the Holy Spirit, that you can find rest in his death, his burial, and the resurrection. As he instituted, this is my body for you. Let's take it together. And he said, this is my blood has poured out for you. Washes away our sins. Let's take this together. As the band come forward, I want you to spend some time in prayer. I know sometimes you go to church and you get bombarded with one song after another and announcements and all that stuff. But here, we want you to spend some time between you and God. That's why you came. You came because you want to feel God. You want to know God. You want God to speak with you, to sit with you and speak through you. So next few moments, I want you to just spend some time in prayer. and I'll come up and give the invitation. So you, in silence, let's pray. If you have a prayer need, our elders will be up here to pray with you. So our elders, go ahead and come on up. But also, if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've been searching all your life for that need, like the Jewish people, every year they go to the Sukkoth because they want God to really dwell with them. And God sent His Son, and we call Him Emmanuel, means God with us. That permanent indwelling is in Jesus Christ. The permanent indwelling, the Holy Spirit, it's in Jesus Christ that lives with us. And as Christians, you know this. But if you're not a Christian, you're wondering, like, am I not? Is the Spirit with me? Then you're probably not. So if you have a decision to make today, you've never been baptized, we have water back here, or you just want to know, like, I want to get baptized, but I don't want to know, I don't know enough yet, so can you walk me through it? Absolutely. But don't walk away from here not making a decision for God. And if you ever wonder what all this is about, say, but I want that living water, this invitation's for you. So the next few verses, if that's you today, I'm going to ask you to come forward and meet me here. And if you have prayers, that our elders up here to pray with you. But don't leave today without coming to the table and experience the living water. So at the end of the festival, as the priest pour the water, the Father would recite, and Jesus, I am that water. In the words of Isaiah chapter 12, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away. And you have comforted me. Surely God, it's my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, the God, is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. May God's word change you. May you rest in His presence, in the Holy Spirit, that He comforts you through the night, in good and in bad. May you find rest in His presence. God bless you. Lord, we love you. In the name of Jesus, all the people say, amen. We'll see you next week.